Hello and welcome to another episode of A Cozy Christmas Podcast. I'm your host, Art, and I like to drink too much eggnog. Well, it's that time of year where the days are getting darker, they're getting colder, Christmas lights are up everywhere, and it is truly the most wonderful time of the year. I have a really fun conversation ahead for you today. I'll be interviewing author Rachel McMillan today, who has just written the new book, A Very Merry Holiday Movie Guide. I'm not a movie podcaster at all, but I do love the Christmas movie podcasts out there, and hopefully you find those and take a listen as well. There's a lot of good ones out there. But today I'm going to have her on to talk about Hallmark movies and made-for-TV movies and her new book, who will guide you through some of those. And as I mentioned in the interview, what I like about this book is that it's not just a TV guide. It gives you different topics of what kind of a movie fan you are or what kind of a person you are. You know, there's the person who likes to bake. Well, here's, you know, five Hallmark type movies that you'd enjoy watching. There's the book lovers chapter. It gives you all sorts of ideas and things to do to host your own movie watching party, to create new traditions, and even some history and trivia along the way. It's a great book, and I highly recommend it as a gift for your movie lover on your Christmas list, and this book would make a great, great gift. Movie fans rejoice. I am here with Rachel McMillan, who has just written a book called A Very Merry Holiday Movie Guide. It is your guide for made-for-TV Christmas movies. And I thoroughly have enjoyed looking through that book. It is full of great tidbits and information and descriptions of different movies you might like to watch, along with some holiday hints and helps to make it a very festive time of year for you. So Rachel, welcome to A Cozy Christmas Podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be here.
Good. Well, I'd be upset if you weren't. So, well, why don't you tell folks a little about yourself and how you came to writing this book?
Yeah. So I live in Toronto, Canada, and we just got the most Christmassy snow today, which is fantastic. I actually am a writer primarily of historical fiction for HarperCollins, but I have done a few nonfiction books, and I realized that I hadn't seen any gift type books that speak specifically to made for TV Christmas movies. And I was deep into research for this series set in post-war Europe. And it's a lot of intensive research. And I thought, what's another project that can kind of balance that? So my agent knows that I really love these made for TV Christmas movies. And I said, listen, I don't see anything on the market. There might be something here. So I got a proposal together, and it just honestly, I wrote it because I thought I can watch TV Christmas movies in the middle of the summer for research for a job. So it started with that. And so I am a full-time writer, and I just happened to get a little bit creative on how I could branch out and do something very different than my usual fare. Mm-hmm. And so that's how this book came to be.
Yeah. Well, there's one thing I know from folks who like to watch the Hallmark movies and all those is that this is their go-to films to help unwind and relax. And some have even said they've fallen asleep watching one and woken up watching another one and then not realized it was a different one.
It's true. And it's also because the aesthetic is very similar throughout them. But I do think what's interesting is that here in Canada, we have stations that are licensed to play Hallmark movies because we don't have the Hallmark channel. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the Hallmark films are filmed here. And so a lot of Canadian production companies are involved. And when our first lockdown of the Great Plague of 2020 began in March, the station here immediately started showing 24/7 Hallmark Christmas movies. Just like Hallmark began showing Christmas movies in the middle of the spring outside of their schedule. And I think it's just because that comfort and that, yes, you can fall asleep and wake up and you're still in a happy, cozy Christmas world mm-hmm. is something that people really need. And if you look at the ratings for Hallmark premieres this fall especially, they have skyrocketed. People are at home. People are feeling more Christmas now mm-hmm. because you can't really go anywhere. You can't really do a lot. So I think that there's that comfort level is something huge about why these films are so popular. And I think that the writers of these films are very aware, knowing that they're working within a similar formula, that there has to be certain ingredients to them. And I think we're all self-aware that they're wonderful, but they can be a little bit cheesy. And that's part sure. of why they're great. So we yeah. all need a little bit of that, oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, and who doesn't like cheese? I mean, yeah. that's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it from a critical eye, you know, I can see where, you know, like your movie critic or professional critic would
absolutely.
Say, this is not worth anything. But, you know, as a Christmas lover, this is my cup of eggnog, I guess, my yeah. cup of tea, you know, it's cozy. It's got Christmas feels in it. It's, you know, I'm a sucker for a romance story. So
absolutely. And yeah. there's a, you know, all of them have a color palette that works mm-hmm. with Christmas. Mm-hmm. So if you even watch one on mute, every different frame will have at least red or green or twinkle lights. Mm-hmm. There's a very specific way that they've created these worlds. And I think that it's beyond your typical movie criticism because it's not yeah. for the same viewing experience that, say, I don't know, what was the one movie that came out this year, the Christopher Nolan, like your Tenet watcher is not going to be able to take that lens and go to a Very Merry Mix Up and try. But what you do notice is that there, you know, you can play within the formula of the world and they are all Christmas. They're all nostalgic. And I think that they really make people tap into a life that they either wish they had or are trying to rediscover again, especially this year when home and family are so integral to what's happening in the world.
I joke that I'm probably the worst movie critic ever because I like everything I watch pretty much. And, but you know, it's that when I sit down to watch it, I just try to take the film for what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, when you pop on a Hallmark movie or Christmas movie, you know, it's okay. That's what I'm wanting. And
it's a genre. You go in with the expectations, you know, what's going to happen. So then they're going to get together. She's going to leave her big city job. It's uh-huh. going to be Christmas. It will snow on Christmas. So when you're working within those parameters, anything that happens that is slightly surprising becomes even more exciting and people focus on that. For example, mm-hmm. there was, and I can't remember the name of it because I haven't watched it yet. I think it's called Five Star Christmas. And my Facebook exploded. I haven't watched it, but it was on Hallmark the other night. And people were impressed because it's one of the few that does an ensemble comedy really well. And so the fact that it's still within the specifics and measures of this genre, but it created more of an ensemble piece, it stood out to people. So anytime that there's a slight variance in the theme, I think that makes it even more exciting. But like you, I mean, yeah. I'm just happy for the content and enjoying it. I'm just happy they figured out how to make 97 of these during the pandemic. I think it's,
oh my goodness,
it's so creative.
yeah. Well, I haven't watched, I don't think I've watched any new ones this year. And I told Rachel off mic here that I'm kind of a newbie when it comes to these films still, because I don't have the Hallmark channel or, you know, I'm stuck with Netflix right now, which is fine. last year I watched, I think it was called Dear Santa with Amy yeah. Acker.
And she's fantastic. I love that.
Oh man. I'm used to seeing her in the series, Person of Interest.
Oh yes. Yeah.
She plays a psycho character. And then yeah. in this one, she's sweet and ends up being kind and all that. And I'm waiting for her to, you know, pull out a gun and
No, and it's but no, it's not, really interesting to see who shows up in these, because sometimes you don't expect it. They do have their regular favorites, Lacey Chabert, Candace Cameron Bure, a bunch of them, Danica McKellar, a lot of sitcom stars from the 80s and 90s. But people like Amy Acker, I mean, she was in another one, Nutcracker Christmas, where she plays a ballerina, and she gets to use dancing training she rarely gets to use in her Hollywood or... I guess her Joss, she's done some Joss Whedon stuff, but she suited it really well. She was fantastic. So I'm glad you saw that one.
Yeah. I'll have to maybe watch that other one too. I like her. She's a great actress. Yes. But I love it, cause I'll get caught up. It's like you said, you know how it's going to end, but you know, there's still this part of me that gets caught up in the magic of it. And I'm thinking, maybe this is going to be the one where they don't get together at the end, you know?
Yeah.
and you just...
Will the snowstorm be over in time for the Christmas pageant?
Right.
And I think that it's so wonderful just to have such low stakes. I mean, a Hallmark Christmas movie tragedy is not actually a tragedy. The cookies are burnt. And I think that at times of really high stress, I think that people... really need something that is not going to get their, you know, heartbeat so intensively racing that it's too much for them. It's very low stakes, and the Christmas problems are not actual problems. Like they can be fixed. The store gets saved. The cookies are okay. The pageant goes ahead. And I like that about them.
Yes, definitely. So I was going to ask you as kind of a new, well, not a very experienced Christmas movie watcher, as far as made for TV movies go. You know, I really wanted to start watching more this year, but then I, you know, like you said, there's like 90 new films just from Hallmark.
Many. Yeah.
Where do you start? How do you get into that? Because I look at that and I'm overwhelmed.
I think what's interesting is, you know, what I found, and this is over the past, because these things, I would say since about 2006, have now skyrocketed. They went from maybe making 4 a year to 16 a year to like 97 a year. So they keep growing on this and they keep building on it. And with that has come a lot of blogs and Instagram accounts and podcasts that are specific to Hallmark and Hallmark movie lovers. And I tend to find that following the hashtag Hallmarkies hashtag on Twitter helps me a lot, because it's where do you start? But I also think it's through social media, the word of mouth. I'll often have people say, okay, if you guys haven't seen this, put this one at the top of your list. It's really hard, but I think what you'll find is that the same films show up a lot on people's top 10 lists. Very Merry Mix-Up is one, and it's one I kind of shout out to because it's in the cover, or it's on the title of my book, because that's my personal favorite. You'll see 9 Lives of Christmas show up all the time. That's Brandon Routh, who played Superman. He's fantastic in that. Snow Bride is another one. You'll see that a lot of people they keep mentioning the same ones, and that's usually a good indicator of the ones that really resonate with people. But other than that, I mean, you can just dive in and watch a million of them.
Well, and here's where I think maybe your book will come in handy. We'll segue into your book.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The chapters are divided up under themes. So we have like the baker's Christmas, the shopper's Christmas, the book lover's Christmas, which is, that's the one that first jumps out to me. Because I'm a book lover. Yeah, obviously. And so your chapters kind of give a little introduction about the theme, and then I'm just looking at the book lovers chapter right now. And so then you give tips to create the perfect bookish atmosphere. Just some things you can do to make the house smell nice and all those things. Then you give, each chapter has their customized viewing list. So here is, what do you got? 6 films you mentioned that might connect to that theme of a book lover or a baker lover. And that I find to be pretty helpful.
And I used a lot of my own favorites in those. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm very aware of the fact that the book will, even by next year, need a different edition with different lists because there's so many new films. But I just really think that there is, you know, there was a survey that said there's at least one person in almost every household in America who loves these movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it's... A female writer of some of my historical fiction will write me and say, okay, I don't watch these films, but my husband is obsessed. I got him the books. So there is somebody from either genre, and, you know, they have a surprising demographic. But I really did try to give people a wide array of these films so that anyone who's picking up on one is kind of has, and some quality ideas. These are ones that are tried, tested, and true, have good writing. When you're making as many films, you know, I can't say that I give them all A+ 5 stars, but you're ranking them through a slightly different system than perhaps, you know, it's your whomever is choosing the Academy Awards or whatever. It's a very different, and your ranking or cataloging will be based on your personal preferences. Maybe you prefer having, you know, Lacey Chabert as your heroine, or maybe your team Alicia Witt, or maybe you like military themed ones, but not dog ones, or maybe you like country Christmas or city Christmas. You literally can find anything in the array of Hallmark Christmas movies.
Well, and just so folks don't think this is basically a glorified TV guide, I mean, there's so many great nuggets in here too. Like each chapter has a start a new tradition section where, like in the book lovers one, you know, you talk about taking someone out and buy them a book as a gift.
Yes. I always loved that as a kid when my aunt would give us gift certificates to the bookstore, and then on Boxing Day. Oh, wait. I don't know if you guys have Boxing Day in America. Anyway, the 26th is a holiday, and it's usually where all the big sales happen. So we would go with our gift cards the day after Christmas and buy books. And so I love that. So a lot of the traditions and activities in the book that I included are really natural and organic to me because it's a lot of the stuff I grew up loving to do. So people get a bit of a personal Rachel 101 when they read this book as well.
That's nice. That's neat. When I was a kid, we'd go to see my grandma and grandpa, and they had friends, some good friends who owned a bookstore. And I mean, my grandma is responsible for me loving books and loving to read.
Oh, I love that.
And it's just grown and developed almost to an unhealthy obsession now, but maybe
but
not.
But it's books. It
can't be that bad. But she would do that. We would go to their bookstore and she'd say, you know, pick out a book you want. And that was always neat.
It's the best.
Yeah. She would get us books from yard sales and stuff too. A lot of Hardy Boys, things like that. And, you know, she just fed my love of reading. So that's the thing that really, like I was saying, reading that chapter, it kind of jumped out at me. Like, yes, this lady knows what she's talking about.
And this year you have to support the small bookstores and the indie bookstores. It's so important. So that would be a new tradition, might be instead of ordering a book from Amazon for, you know, the book lovers, Christmas should be us trying to keep those bookstores alive because they are the heart of many communities. So I would just make sure that you're getting a gift certificate or taking someone to, depending on where you are, there's different, you know, little lockdown situations all over the world right now. But I love that tradition that you had.
Yeah.
It's really special.
Where we live, we're out in a rural area of Iowa, and there's not a lot of used bookstores around.
And you must miss that because there's something amazing about used bookstores and the smell of them and the, you know, the fact that you're picking up. I prefer used books, actually, because I love books that other people have maybe made little notes in. You feel like you're inheriting an experience from somebody.
Oh,
I love.
Definitely. I found an old, it was a Nicholas Nickleby, Charles Dickens book. And it was probably early 1900s it was published, but someone had written on the, in the side cover that this book was given as a gift to their student who is in like fourth grade or something for getting a 100%. I don't remember what the, it was like a, oh, it was a spelling bee. Yeah. Their student won a spelling bee. So they won this gift of a chunker of a Charles Dickens book. And they were like in fourth grade.
And not the happiest Charles Dickens either.
No.
I mean, none of them are completely sunny, but that one gets pretty dark.
Well, and I loved it because I'm trying to imagine your fourth grader today getting a, you know, a Charles Dickens book and
just being like, okay, different I can world. Roll with this. Yeah.
Where do you plug it in? I don't know. But yeah, I love those old books where, you know, I know a lot of collectors want to find one in perfect condition and all that, but I want it messed up and written in.
Because, absolutely. That's where the magic happens. And, you know, Dickens is, man, this is kind of slightly off topic.
Oh, but sure. That's
hey, Christmas is Dickens. Right. Dickens is the one of the perfect authors for that. I don't know if I talk about this in the holiday movie guide, but there's Dickens books that I appropriate as Christmas books besides Christmas Carol. And one of them is Great Expectations because it opens at Christmas and Pip is stirring the pudding. Mrs. Joe has him by, his sister has him by the fireplace stirring the pudding. And I just love that there's so many stories like that that just have a Christmassy sense. And when you find old copies of them and it's to so-and-so from grandmother Christmas 1955, you just know you're a part of that tradition in that world. And I think that's really lovely. So that's my favorite chapter in this book too, is the book lover's Christmas.
Yeah. I like the old fashioned Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Chapter two. That's, I mean, some of my favorite books to read are from the 1800s, you know.
Me too.
And since they're all in the public domain, I can read the stories on my podcast without getting in trouble. So I mean, every podcast episode I try to read a story or something, maybe around Christmas time or involving Christmas or a holiday. But yeah, this one was neat. And again, there's, you know, the book choices for you, there's some trivia, there's ways to start a new tradition, different things. I mean, this is a great gift for someone who loves Christmas movies, who maybe like me likes movies, but doesn't know where to start.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping that, and I just hoped that people would, you know, it, as you say, it is a little deceptive in that it is called a guide, but it's not your typical, you know, Roger Ebert's guide to the best films of 1998. It's a little more how to, since these films are so popular and since so many people are having them on all the time in their houses, and since they're such a popular thing, how do you incorporate them so that you're not just glued to the screen? How do you make sure that they're a part of a family activity, that you're using them to create some of the idyllic situations that they represent? Because it's a lot about caroling and sleigh rides and a lot about traditions that are kind of not pursued as much anymore. And this year is a year we all have extra time on our hands. So it's, well, not in the way we'd like. So, I mean, as you said, your kids are home doing virtual school. I think people have different responsibilities, but gingerbread making and cookie making and decorating, I have noticed in my neighborhood, more people are decorating than ever. People who have never had lights on their houses on our street are just going all out this year. And so I hope the book inspires people to think that even with very little resources or time or money, you can kind of recreate the spirit of what you like when you watch these films in your own Christmas.
And you know, this, I'm just going to throw this out to the, any guys who are listening. If you want a date night idea for your wife, this book is like the cheater's guide here.
Okay. It's true. If your wife or girlfriend is really into super Christmassy things, I've kind of given you a shortcut. And you know, it's tried and true because I really like this stuff and I'm a girl. So Well, I never thought of that before.
I'd say even, I know, like you said, there's guys who like this too. So, yeah. You know, ladies or whoever, you know, if your significant other is a big Christmas movie lover, this is gold. I'm like, man, this is a great idea for a date night. Hopefully my wife's not listening.
No, she'll ruin it.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell her to fast forward through this part. Yeah.
And we should shout out to the guide is illustrated by Laura Bean, who's an illustrator who's in the Chicago area. And she, with very little direction, you know, we just gave her a few keywords and she's created this lovely illustrated guide, which is why I think it makes for such a good gift book, because mm-hmm. it's not just words on a page. She's taken a lot of time to make it into something that is really special that mm-hmm. hopefully you want to give to people. So,
yeah, I was going to ask you about that too, about the illustrator, because mm-hmm. I mean, this book is colorful. It's got illustrations, drawings all over. I love art. So, you know, just flipping through the book, you can see these just eye-catching illustrations. It's
yeah.
I mean, this is a book lover's dream right here. So.
It is. It's so pretty. And of course I had nothing to do with that. That's just the design team at the publisher, but if you know it, she is on Instagram, Laura Bean, and you can see her amazing artwork, just her imagination makes it quite special. So, and it's just it's a bit of a different color aesthetic too. I mean, she picked a template that just had a few colors so that the book almost looks like a candy cane.
Yeah.
There's different reds and whites and yeah. Yeah. It's pretty.
So if you find me licking the book, you know, no. Does it taste right? Good?
Yeah. This is how much we love books.
That's right. We'll smell them. We'll lick them. Yeah. Oh boy. I going to guess that you watch a lot of these films. Do you do it throughout the year or only do it during?
Usually during Christmas time. And I have a confession to make. I mean, they're on my TV right now. Mm-hmm. I, of course, am a writer. So I'm in the middle of like really intensive edits of the next book. So I find that I have them on a lot, especially from November through the beginning of January, but they're often muted. I have them in the background while I do other things. But I do make sure that I see some of the premieres that I've been really excited about. As for watching them throughout the year, I think I mentioned this in the intro. There have been a few moments in my life of, you know, when a family member has been sick or maybe I'm just having a really bad day where I will turn one on because they are my go-to. Like mm-hmm. if you are having a horrible day or if you've gotten some bad news and the world seems bleak, I mean, take the beginning of the pandemic when they started showing them all the time. These mm-hmm. are my go-to for, like, I'm just going to find one of these and throw it on and you just feel calm and peaceful. What Christmas is, right? I mean, it just the idea that it's always going to be about core values, about family. It's going to end happily. It's a low angst situation. So if I do watch them outside of Christmas season, it's either in the summer when they do Christmas in July, which they do every year, or it's I'm having a rotten day and we all handle those differently. And sometimes I'll just throw on a Hallmark Christmas movie. And I should specify that I keep saying Hallmark because they are the majority of the films mentioned in the book. However, I do have a few Netflix ones in there. Lifetime does a bunch of them. Up TV. I mean, there's a ABC Spark does them. There's a Leviathan of these that are produced by several different places, but I think we can all agree that Hallmark kind of set the formula and started this whole regime. So,
I catch myself calling we call it almost a Hallmarky movie, you know, whether it's on Lifetime or wherever. It's
like Kleenex, right? It's like any, or Ziploc bags. It's like, anytime you see this, it is going to be called a Kleenex, even if it's a different brand. And I think Hallmark has to be okay with that. They are doing quite, quite well for themselves.
Definitely. Now, do you have, This might be asking to pick your favorite child, but do you have any any favorite Christmas movie out of all these that you see?
So I do have my every year favorites is my favorite of all time is Very Merry Mix-Up with Alicia Witt. And it is a favorite of a lot of people. Alicia Witt is in a lot of these. Again, this is like Amy Acker. She's, you know, she's been on Orange is the New Black, The Walking Dead. I mean, Alicia Witt is does these variety of roles and then is in these lovely movies. So she's a very diverse and talented, wide-ranging actress. I also really love Nine Lives of Christmas with Brandon Routh and Kimberly Sustad. And it's because the two of them just have some fantastic chemistry. There is, and you might actually like this, Art, there's a Lifetime movie called Love at the Christmas Table. And it, a friend of mine and I watched it, and we picked up on all the Great Expectations themes in it. There's a Miss Havisham type character. There's a very Dickensian feel to it. And I was on Twitter tweeting about this movie a while ago this year, and the screenwriter found me and tweeted back, and he's like, I wrote that. And I'm like, you're brilliant. Amazing. Yay, Twitter, bringing the world together. But those are three that I tend to recommend to people. Mm-hmm. For this year, there's one called Christmas by Starlight. It stars Paul Campbell and Kimberly Sustad, and they co-wrote it. They've each done a number of these, some together, and they were just like, let's write our own. And Hallmark produced it, and it was quite cute. So those are my go-tos.
Yeah. Now, I've heard of The Nine Lives of Christmas, mm-hmm. and it might have been on a podcast I listened to that talked about it, but I haven't seen any of those. So I might just start watching those with those
find
three.
And them. Yeah.
Find them and watch them. Yeah. Yeah.
They're good places to start. You know, yeah, it's like those iTunes playlists and then you get the deep cuts and the subgenres within the subgenre. But one thing that Hallmark's been doing, and this has been fascinating to me, is branching out and setting some of the films, not just in BC pretending to be an American city, which is most of them, but actually filming on location in France and in Rome. And Christmas in Vienna came out this year, and they filmed on location in Vienna last Christmas. And so I think it's wonderful for people who are at home to try and find some of the internationally set ones, because you feel like you're traveling to a different place while you're at home. So I hope they do more of those where they film off in the world and not just in North America.
Now I'll have to test your knowledge here. There was one, I can't remember the title of it, but it did have Candace Cameron in it, and she played a twin sister.
Who Switched for Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's called Switched for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, nice
she
job.
She plays herself, but apparently there's a new Netflix one, which I haven't seen, but it's Vanessa Hudson, Hudson. I don't know how to say her last name.
Yeah.
And she is playing three different roles.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that.
So, man, that's, I guess, the new gimmick is like, how many people can this one person play? Candace Cameron did a really good job with that, though.
Yeah,
I can't imagine how difficult that would be to talk to yourself ostensibly in two different characters.
I guess I do it all the time on my podcast. So.
True.
But I had to laugh at that one because the opening scene, you're talking about locations, and it said, I guess it says it takes place in Denver, but the opening scene, it shows it is clearly Salt Lake City.
It's amazing. The stock, the overhead stock footage, there are some that are worse culprits than others. One of my favorites is it pans over the Boston skyline and then we're clearly in Vancouver. Like there's Canada flags, like we're clearly not in Boston. But they try to set the stage and then no, this isn't. And I think one of them, I think this was a Netflix one. I think Christmas Prince, there was a BuzzFeed article that showed that, you know, it showed all these overhead sky scraper shots. and it started in New York. The next shot was Chicago. Like, it's just stock footage of any big city. That always makes me laugh. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now playing Denver, we have Utah.
That's right. I'm like, well, can I, how hard is it to find, you know, stock footage of the town you want
to? They've got 97 to make. They don't have time for this. It's like,
that's right. We got to come on. We got to get them out. Let's go. It's like the your kid coming to you the day before a project's due and saying, you know, I told my teacher you'd bake 9 dozen cookies. Could you do that tonight?
Like, okay, store, yep. Here I come.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, I argue that that is part of the charm of these, yeah. is that they're a fantastical world anyway.
Yeah.
Anyone who's going to, not you, of course, this is nice banter, but when I see people getting a little too critical, I'm like, take a step back and focus on where you're putting your negative energy. I mean, they are, you see this on Twitter, you see people who think there's some kind of virtue in making fun of these. Everyone kind of mocks them a little bit sometimes because they set themselves up for it. But,
right.
you know, they're supposed to be happy. And I do like to tease them for stuff like that. It's just when it's so clearly not the place that they're trying to set
right,
it up
right.
as.
Yeah. Just take it for what it is and, yeah. and enjoy it.
Yep.
That's right. Oh, I liked in your book, you had a little thing there about picking your Christmas movie name. You know, you
oh,
have
yeah.
the, unfortunately mine came out to be Mary St. Nicholas, which okay.
That doesn't really work. I just thought that was fun.
Oh yeah. I yeah. My name. I like my wife's name. Hers became Ivy Evergreen. And I'm like, oh, that's
I like
good.
That. That is a good one.
I couldn't decide if that was a Christmas movie name or a Bond girl name or something. You
it's
know?
True. There is a Bond girl whose name is Christmas. Isn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah.
One of the Pierce Brosnan ones.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was his first one. Her name was like Merry Christmas or yeah. something. Yeah.
And it's because they often have festive names and the towns often have festive names. And it is really yeah. just this fantastical Christmas world that
yeah.
overtakes televisions for 2 months out of the year and
right.
you know is so highly rated. Like the amount of people who watch these is incredible. So.
Yeah. And what I appreciate is you know, at least a few I've seen, but from what other people have said, that most of them are they're family friendly, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Vulgarity is low, the cursing is low,
yeah.
if at all. You know, you can pop it on, have your kids around and not have to worry about
no,
diving for the remote if
it's true. I mean, I'm yeah. certain some it they won't be for everybody.
Right. right.
But I and what I think is amazing about them is by virtue of the fact that they often have a higher viewership than something like The Walking Dead or something that is the huge cable TV show of the moment. Mm-hmm. It shows that viewers actually really, I mean, people are buying in with their viewing stats that they really do not need all of the content that we mm-hmm. see on television. So I think that says a lot that people are drawn to these films that are about family and about kindness and about just being a decent human being. I think it's in the same way that, you know, Mr. Rogers has had a comeback. It's like, okay, people really do want to be giving good humans. And I think that Hallmark mm-hmm. and these types of films show that at heart, this is what we like, community and people helping each other. And yeah, they are very clean. And that's great because it's Christmas and really
right.
it's...
right. yeah. Yeah.
It
and I know everyone has different tastes and all that, but you know,
yeah.
You know, and what we like to, not that we want to shelter our kids or anything, but we don't need that right now. And of course, you know, I'm thinking that I have two teenage boys who would probably spend the whole time making fun of the whole thing. You
yeah.
know?
Like, but there's actually an art in that as well. That might actually be kind of fun.
yeah. Yeah.
Know? It's, you can make up your own dialogue for them and it probably works.
yeah. my daughter, she's 11. She's maybe not quite there yet,
aww.
But I could see her enjoying those movies here soon. So we'll see how that goes. So great book. I highly recommend that.
Well, thank you.
So I guess before we wrap things up here, let's talk a little bit about just our favorite Christmas traditions and memories and all that. Do you have any that you are just cherish?
Oh, I love, and it's kind of hard for me this year because we found out that our churches are closed through Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we can do virtual, but we can't be in person, which is really hard for me because my favorite part of Christmas is the music, especially carols. And one of my favorite traditions is going to a Christmas Eve service, candlelight service, the organ is playing, the carols are being sung, holding a candle, singing Silent Night. That's one of my favorite. That's Christmas Eve. You know, there's that sense of expectation and excitement, especially mm-hmm. since I was a little kid, where it's like, oh my gosh, it's Christmas Eve. So that feeling of community and just being around music is one of my favorite things. In fact, I would say that anything musical, I try to see a production of The Messiah or mm-hmm. every year here in Toronto. Of course, none of that this year because COVID, COVID Christmas,
right.
I love seeing a production of, I'm a big concert goer, theater lover. So that kind of thing is a great tradition, but anything around the music. But I would also say just, going up, my parents live about 2 hours north of Toronto and it's always white for Christmas there, lots of snow. And I just like being around my family. So that's a favorite thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. What about any kind of traditions you guys do that maybe is even different from what we do in the States?
I think it's kind of similar. I would say Boxing Day is a tradition that we have. Like it is a national holiday here as well. But one of the things that we do is my grandmother, my Oma, she's long passed, but she was from Holland. She was a war bride from Holland. And so she brought over the tradition of on the 5th, the evening of the 5th of December, you put out your shoe and Santa Claus will leave a treat. And so growing up, now that I live on my own, I don't put my shoe out unless I'm like, sorry, kids, put in my own treat. That's something that we carried from my grandmother is that even though we celebrated Christmas on the 25th, we always did that. We'd always put our shoes out on the 5th of December and we would wake up to a little treat. Mm-hmm. And my favorite, and it starts today, is my parents still get all three of us adult children who live outside of our parents' house. We always get advent calendars every year. They still buy us chocolate advent calendars. I love that.
I saw a post back in, might have been October or November, somebody had said, well, according to my chocolate advent calendar, there's only 3 days till Christmas.
Right. Especially it's that kind of this year. Yeah. It is. Actually, advent calendars this year, I saw someone who has a Star Wars advent calendar where they get a little toy every day mm-hmm. and people have cheese advent calendars. And I like, there's a huge business for these now.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a Lego one. That looked kind of fun.
It does those, look kind of fun. Yeah.
Those Funko Pop characters. Have you seen those? Yeah, they have one for those. When I was a kid, we had an advent calendar, but it was the same one we'd use every year. And when you open each door, it would be just a picture. And so there's even no treat or anything. And I don't think it was until I was an adult before I realized I could have been getting candy.
There was candy? I mean,
what happened to the candy?
That picture of an angel was nice, but come on.
Yeah.
There's more to this.
I'm missing out.
I love the advent calendar tradition. And I love that my parents still get us one, even though we are grown adults. And that's still just part of our childhood that they make sure that we have.
That's neat. Yeah. And I think this year, you know, those traditions that we can still keep are so going to be really necessary. I've been talking with my wife about what are we going to do this year? Because a lot of the things we usually do, we can't because it's been canceled. So, we're talking about, there's a guy who about an hour from us, he has a farm and he decorates like his fields. Once all the harvest is done, they're all decorated with Christmas lights. It's like this huge drive-by Christmas light thing. And he just does it. puts it out in his yard. And I think he has maybe a donation box out, but it's free for people just to drive by. And we went there 1 year. It was neat, but it was a long drive for just relatively speaking, a short light experience. But, you know, my wife says this year we should go, you know, let's go, let's blast Christmas carols in the car. Let's sing loudly.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll go and see the lights and we'll come home. And it's not much, but it's something we can do. And, you know, to try to really make those things extra fun. I think it's going to be a blast. So
it is. And I think that people should be okay this year if for 1 year, if it's not working or you just are trying too hard to make a tradition happen and it's just too stressful, then I think it's okay for this year to just be something different. Yeah. I know people who are like, we want to have this big family gathering. We want it to be Christmassy. We're just going to have Christmas dinner in the summer. And I think that if people need to do that, I think this year is all about just trying to remember the season. But if it gets too nostalgic or too stressful, or if it makes people feel even more disconnected, then I think it's okay if we let ourselves off the hook for things like that. But yeah, the lights is a great idea. I mean, anything just to get a bit of a tradition, a bit of an event is huge, especially now since there are so few of them.
This last couple of weeks, we had COVID. I think my wife got it and then wiped us all out.
I'm so sorry about that.
Well, we are fortunate. It didn't hit us too bad. Mostly we're just exhausted.
And the kids got it too, eh?
Yep. My boys, definitely. My daughter, we're not quite sure. She got tested, but it came back negative, but she had a day or two where she was pretty uncharacteristically tired. I mean, she's usually bouncing off the walls. So, I mean, we had things that we're going to do and I had plans for the podcast and different things and that all got canceled and pushed back. And so I'm sitting down thinking, okay, I can either really push myself and get all this stuff done, or we're just going to have to let it go and not stress out. It's too bad I can't get this accomplished this year. But on the other hand, you know, is it really worth killing yourself trying to catch up?
I think surviving this year is just everyone gets a gold star just for making it through.
That's right.
And I think this year is kind of special because, you know, for better or for worse, we are at the end of the hellscape that is 2020. There's no other word for it. We have made it. So I think that we can at least celebrate that this is one of the toughest years in, you know, decades and decades. And so if it culminates in some slightly different traditions this year or celebrations that just are like, hey, we did it. We made it to the end of this year. Something has to change. It'll be better in 2021. Then I think that this Christmas will be special for that. Just as a, hey, humans, we survived.
That's right. Hey, that might be the episode title now.
Hey, humans,
we survived.
We're still on the planet. Yay.
You know, we were decorating and this past weekend and we'd work for like half an hour and then just be exhausted.
Oh yeah.
And so we decided, you know what, we're going to just say it's good enough and not in a way that's usually, cause you don't want something that's just good enough, but this year, I think that's an admirable.
It's a, hey, we acknowledged the season. Yeah. We tried. And I think for a lot of people, because I do know that it's going to be hard for people who just the traditions make them feel more disconnected, especially if they can't be home or with their family. It's going to be a hard Christmas for people. So that's where Hallmark comes in.
That's right.
You watch a ton of them and you will feel better.
grab this book, find a chapter that suits your tastes and pop in some movies and make yourself some treats and have a very merry holiday. Definitely. Well, Rachel, thanks for stopping by talking Christmas movies with me. And it's been fun.
It has been so much fun. Thank you, Art. And Merry Christmas to everybody. And check out the book. I hope you like it. And have a happy movie watching holiday for sure.
We will. All right. You take care. All right. I want to tell you about another Christmassy thing that I've been enjoying. My wife has a blog, and this month she is blogging daily between now and Christmas, a kind of Advent reflections. They are religious in nature. So if those are things that you are interested in, I'd encourage you to check out her blog. It's at togetherforgood.wordpress.com. And I want to read you a entry from her blog. And it's the one she posted on her birthday, December 2nd. And it's called Courage in Waiting. She says, "Today is my birthday. Today I turn 42, which means that, according to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, for the next 365 days, I will be the answer to life, the universe, and everything. If you ask my kids, they will probably tell you that if that's the case, then the answer is probably no. I remember waiting for my birthday when I was a kid. Somewhere there is a picture of me, circa 1988, complete with red sweater vest and mullet, sitting on the couch in our living room, waiting for my birthday party to begin. I would get so excited about cake and ice cream and presents. It always felt like the world should stop for my birthday. I shouldn't have to go to school or make my bed or do any of that normal stuff. Unfortunately, the world is not like that. And the older I get, the less it's like that. This year, in celebration of my birthday, I get to have a shot in my knee and go to work for the first time in 3 weeks. I might wear a birthday hat to work, though. I was reading in Gretchen Rubin's The Happiness Project that studies show that anticipating something exciting actually adds a great deal to our happiness when we remember that event. And I think it might be right, because honestly, so many of my joyful memories center around that feeling of joyful anticipation and jump out of your skin excitement I had before Christmas and my birthday when I was a kid. For many of those times, I remember the waiting more than I remember the actual event. And I think there's a lesson we can learn from this. We make a mistake when we view waiting as a long blank stretch between one event and another. God wants to use these times of waiting in our lives. We might feel like we're in a holding pattern, but God is never not at work. In Psalm 27, David writes about his experience during a difficult time when it felt like his enemies were going to destroy him. He reminds himself of the truth that God is his light, his salvation, his refuge, and his reason for confidence. The chapter is full of beautiful words, and I highly recommend you take the time to read the whole thing. But for today, we'll zoom in on the last two verses. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David was waiting for more than just a far-off heavenly experience of God's goodness. He believed he would see God's goodness in his daily life in the land of the living. Sometimes we seem to think that the only thing we have in our faith is a dream of heaven someday. But Jesus didn't just come to give us eternal life. He came to give us abundant life. Good things overflowing our lives, even when everything seems to be falling apart, even when we're weary, even in times of waiting, even in 2020. David looked to God with joyful hope and expectation that God was going to do something good. And friends, we can do that too. We have hope of heaven, but we also have hope for today. We have hope that as we wait, God is orchestrating goodness for us. We have hope that one thing our hearts most deeply need, to dwell in the presence of God and gaze upon his beauty, has been granted to us by Jesus, who is our way. Today, let's wait with strength and courage, because the God we're waiting for is a good God who plans what is good for his beloved people. Let's wait with strength and courage, because God makes these times of expectation into times of growth and good things. He is the God of streams in the desert, the God who brings beauty from ashes and life from death. Always, always, he is worth waiting for. Be strong. And that, again, is the entry, Courage in Waiting, written by my wife on her blog, togetherforgood.wordpress.com. They start on November 29th, and the entry there is called An Invitation to Wait. If that's something you like to read during Christmas time, I'd love for you to check out the blog. Okay, so that's all for today. I hope you all are taking care and having a fun time with your family as we wait and anticipate the great day that is Christmas Day. So in the meantime, be kind to each other and share your stories. And remember that there is nothing in the world so irresistibly contagious as laughter and good humor. Have a very Merry Christmas.